Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Deep Thoughts from the Shallow End. Today's topic is change. We all know about change. And you know, you have a choice. You can flow with it or resist it, but it's still going to happen either way. I'm Ben Plowman, your host for today, your co-host for today, brought to you by Sphere Innovation Group. I'm a certified hypnotherapist and life coach, and as always, I'm joined by the delightful Dr. Melba Black. Hey, Melba.
Good afternoon, Ben.
How are you on this rainy day?
I'm doing really good. I'm excited about this topic today.
Yeah? You're always excited about the topic.
I know. Well, now normally we choose a topic.
That would be why we enjoy the topic so much. I'm pretty sure. So, as always, folks, if you want to be part of the show, give us a call at 657-383-1561. That's 657-383-1561. And be part of the show. Now, as always, we are brought to you by the Sphere Innovation Group. You can find us online at www.sphereinnovationgroup.com. You can email us at info@sphereinnovationgroup.com and let us know if you have any topic that you would like for us to chat about. Because Lord knows, we have an opinion about pretty much everything. So don't be shy. And join right in. So, Melba, change. Flow with it or resist it. It's going to happen anyway. What's it mean to you?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, okay, here we go. We haven't got them posted yet, though, but I promise I will get them to you. There's a universal law.
There is?
Yes.
Huh. Who would have figured?
There's a universal law.
Is anybody out there surprised?
It's called the law of rhythm. Nothing ever stays the same. It can go varying for different degrees. So you can count on it. Take a look at nature. Take a look at your life, how the cycles of life, your children or babies, they grow up. We are in constant change, moment by moment.
That absolutely is true. You know, it is constant change.
Yes.
And the little changes, we don't notice, folks. You know, we know that today is rainy, tomorrow will be sunny. Well, there's change, right?
Absolutely.
And we just kind of process right through without even thinking about it.
Don't even think about it.
You know, you put the raincoat on or you take the raincoat off. We process it really easy.
We know that the weather changes, so we just adapt, right?
So we're accustomed to that. But guess what, folks? Life changes. Everything about it changes.
Oh, yeah.
The rhythm changes. You know, some days you're in so much rhythm that you get in the car and you hit every green light wherever you're going.
Now, wouldn't that be nice to happen every day?
It'll get boring. It'll probably get boring after a while.
Probably so.
But that's when everything is just kind of synced up, you know?
Well, you do have to have a contrast. If you had that every day, you would just expect it.
And it would not be anything special.
Right.
Yeah.
So you need a contrast.
Yeah, folks. Remember that. Kind of remember that when you're thinking about or evaluating what's going on in your life. Without any lows, there aren't any highs.
Rhythm.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to experience all of it, you know, and it's about actively managing and experiencing those things is what helps you to begin to process it.
Yes. And, you know, while I'm thinking about the subject, and I know you just experienced quite a change in your family past day or two, but, you know, I was thinking about the people that have left this earth plane recently. One of our friends, Kathy, one day she was up here helping me teach a Reiki class, and 6 weeks later, she had already transitioned to the other side.
Yeah.
And I'm still processing that. I realize that it's okay, but accepting what is, making peace with the changes, And just know that everything works together for the good.
Yeah, it's about processing through that.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. And just accepting it. Now, you know, it's when we resist change that the issues happen.
Don't you think a lot of the resistance is rooted in fear?
Probably so. Well, the, from my hypnotherapy help for just a minute, what do you know what the number one thing the subconscious is afraid of?
Change.
The number one thing
change,
is change. It's not even death, folks. It's change.
Yeah.
It's, hey, look, I know how to deal with life. Mm-hmm. You've written all these little scripts, programs, however you want to think about them, in your mind, in your subconscious, that help you get through life just fine as far as you're concerned.
So why do you think that is?
Because it doesn't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't have the program already written. I don't know what's going to happen.
Ooh, fear of the unknown.
Well, Hang on here. I know I get mad every time I see the color blue. I'm comfortable with that. You know, and even though it's not working for you anymore, you know. So that's one of the reasons why we resist change so much. It's because it's that without even thinking about it, that script runs in your mind that, whoa, no.
I like the way the things that work, that, like they are, you know?
Yeah, and it's by understanding that change really brings with it, you know, a whole new vista.
That's a great visual. Vista. I think about a vista being a vista of trees and it's just being in a beautiful spot.
Yeah. Change doesn't, you know, everyone always associates change with bad. And again, it comes back to that whole subconscious, primeval, gut level kind of response, where if you can just kind of take a moment and go, wait a minute, you know, all of a sudden I've got a whole new vista, a whole new set of doors to open, a whole new path to go wander down, or whatever, a new shiny thing over there to go look at.
Well, and also I think a change when you talk about the subconscious, and I think it comes back to whether you see yourself as a victim, you are tossed to and fro by change, you don't have any control over it. You may not have any control over the outward appearances, but you have control over how you respond to change.
That's exactly, because you don't have control over the changes coming at you. You don't. There are forces much greater than any of us could ever imagine at work, right?
So
from the cosmos to the Congress,
right?
To your employer, to your employer, exactly. So it's about dealing with, you know, that change, and understand that you don't have control. You can only control how you react to it.
And the best way that we can express to you how to look at that change is a positive way of looking at it and get perspective.
Well, and having a military background, being in the military myself, and Heather being in the military, we both have notices about one of the things that you learn in the military above all other things, especially when you're just enlisted folks like we were, is that you had no control over your life. None.
Yeah.
Right? You could stand there and say, this is the dumbest thing in the world. Cleaning pad eyes. I was driving it on the flight line. I used to go out and clean pad eyes, which is where little hooks in the ground where airplanes get tied down. But you had to clean them out because they get dirty.
Okay.
Right? So you're saying, this is the dumbest thing I've ever been told to do. And you're complaining. And you could argue with your division officer or your chief, whoever told you to do it, all you wanted. And he would just look at you. And when you were done, are you done yet? So you learned that you can resist it all you want. But if you went and if you started bitching about it while you were doing it, it got done a whole lot faster because you were going to have to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And so many times we see people say, well, that isn't fair.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That isn't fair. Well, guess what, folks? Life isn't fair.
Now, and there's another way of looking at it, too. Everything you go through is a lesson.
Right. So just accept it and keep going to learn. Look at what the lesson might be.
Yeah. So whether it's fair or not, you have a sense of being in a sense of injustice. But really and truly, you got to take 1% responsibility for that choice.
Then that doesn't mean you don't stand up for your rights.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that doesn't mean you don't, you know, it doesn't mean you just lay down and particularly with some of the crazy legislation that's going on in states like Indiana and Arkansas, allowing people to discriminate, I stand up against that. I'm willing to stand up and be counted for that because that's not change that I'm willing to accept. And I have an ability to change that.
You have, you do. You have a vote. You have a voice.
You have a voice.
We should take advantage of that in the United States. There's some countries that don't have that.
They don't have that. Exactly. So it's learning when and where, mm-hmm. you know, to choose your fights.
Of course, I know a lot of change, and most of us, if you've lived any length of time, has had many life-changing events that has prompted you to maybe take a new perspective or a different road, divorce, a death in the family, a loss of job, you know, those mm-hmm. are the big, or a sickness, yeah. those are the big, huge lessons that we learn. And learning just to understand what is that's about, we recommend that you go and do a meditation.
Meditation is always, if nothing else, it brings you to a place of peace mm-hmm. and calm.
Yes.
Right? Because you can always make a better decision and see the world clearer
yes.
when you stop reacting emotionally.
Exactly.
You know, that's why it's always great before you have a serious discussion with somebody. It's a good night's sleep, go for a walk, do something to remove yourself from the emotion of the situation, and then come back and talk about it more rationally.
Absolutely, and get centered in your being.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that, are you ready to talk about the change?
Oh, sure, about coaching?
Yeah.
Yeah, I lost one of my dogs yesterday. I had to put her down. She was 19, and she could no longer walk, and was in quite a bit of pain, so we couldn't let that linger. But still, she was with us for 15 years. Mm-hmm. You know, she was. We didn't get her. We rescued her out of rescue, and she had a pretty tough case, pretty difficult upbringing when she was a pup. They had really abused her pretty badly. She had no hair on her body. She weighed 7 pounds. So she weighed 20 pounds. Yeah, her collar had to be surgically removed, you know, because they never, you know, she was cutting into her throat, almost, you know, strangling her. So she had a pretty bad upbringing. And then we got her.
Well, she had paid her in your house, didn't
yes, she? Did. Yes, she did. And what was so beautiful about, she was a real lesson for me. Because when we first went together, the people that had rescued her said, you don't get to pick her, she has to pick you, which I fully agreed with.
Yeah.
So they let her out of her little pen, and she was just starting to get her health back. And she was prancing around, and she was just going everywhere. I just sat down, and she came up and curled up in my lap and went to sleep. And they're kind of looking at me, well, I guess she's picked you.
I think she probably felt really safe in your lap.
So we loaded her up in the truck. I mean, quite a long drive home with her. And I had a Ford Explorer. I had all the seats down so she could go wherever she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And she was as far away from us as she could because she still didn't trust people.
Sure.
She was as far away from us as she could get. And she just stayed there. And we just left her alone. And, of course, we did a drive-thru and we got her a burger. And we put her right close to us.
Uh-huh.
And she would come up and take a piece and go out.
That's adorable.
And it was just fun. We just left her, you know. And then when we got her home, we brought her into the house. And at that time, we had two other dogs, a greyhound and a spitz. And, of course, they all wanted to meet one another.
Sure.
And she went under our couch.
Uh-oh.
And stayed there for the next month.
Oh, my goodness.
She would come out to eat, do her business, and go right back under.
Wow.
And we just let her.
Yeah.
You know? And over time, she finally realized, oh, nothing bad is going to happen to me. And that's how she processed change. She realized, you know? And then she became, we live right on the Appalachian Trail, and she has over 200 miles on her.
Oh, wow.
Before, yeah, she loved to go hiking. And well, that's when we knew it was getting a little tough for us. One day we were out on the trail and just kind of doing what we always do, and she just quit. I had to carry her the last 6 miles.
Oh, my goodness.
She just couldn't do it. But yeah, but all that being said, you know, she was
a good lesson.
She was. Oh, she really was in change and the way she was, and being a different personality. Mm-hmm. If anyone knows dog breeds, she was a Shiba Inu, which is a miniature Akita.
She looked just like a fox.
She looked exactly like a fox. If she was peeking out from under a bush, you would want to look at the fox. And we would take her anywhere. Everybody wanted to know how I tamed a fox. You know? So,
love it.
So she didn't bark, she yodeled.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So she was a very unique experience for me. And she taught me a whole lot of things about change and about accepting just, you know, who and what they were. And because
right.
she definitely went to the beat of her own drummer. She was very, very an interesting dog. By the way, Koshi means beloved in Japanese, so that's how she got her name. But anyway, she went a lot of miles on the trail, and it was very hard to see her not be able to walk.
Sure.
Anymore at all. And we were carrying her everywhere, and it was just, that's no life for her, so what she wanted.
Well, and just making the decision to be compassionate toward her.
And let her transition.
I'm sure that was a very hard decision,
yeah.
And making peace with that, because I have actually put a couple animals down,
mm-hmm.
my beloved Blackie, and you just sometimes always would second guess, I hope I did the right thing, and then after it's done, you get peace about
yeah.
it.
So when it comes to change, folks, I mean, I could resist that change, right? I could resist it and be mad about it and angry.
Sure.
And
or just let her suffer on
her. Or just let her suffer for as long as required.
Right.
And you know, that was not the way I chose to resist that change. I chose more to accept that change, understand it's just a circle.
True.
And let her transition. I'm still sad. It's a sad day.
Perfectly normal.
You know, but I also remember the great times that we had.
Sure.
You know? She loved dog toys. She just loved them. And when one of the dogs would play with it, she wouldn't fight for it. She would wait for them to put it down. Then she would walk up quietly, take it, and put it back over in her stash.
That's adorable too. So non-confrontational.
She just wait. So yeah, she was really something.
Thank you for sharing.
Oh, my pleasure. She was a sweetie.
So if anybody out there is having a little trouble with resisting change, let's talk a little bit about what it does to your body.
That's a really good, good point.
If you get mad or you get stressed, you know that is, you get into fight or flight mode. It is all you're dumping into your body. It's cortisol and adrenaline. And it is not healthy. So it's much better for you to accept change and breathe into the resistance and ask yourself, why am I resisting this?
That's a great question. Plus, when you do that, all your entire support system, you start pushing away.
Mm-hmm.
When you go into the whole resistant mode, because you're putting out this whole energy of anger and
mm-hmm.
frustration and whatnot, which,
exactly.
believe it or not, pushes your support system further away from you.
It does.
Instead of attracting it in.
So just if you're having any trouble with that, Ben and I are very well experienced and equipped to help you.
If you'd like to make an appointment or just talk about this, the number for Sphere Innovation is 678-920-6700. That's 678-920-6700. And as always, if you'd like to be part of the show, give us a call at 657-383-1561.
So, what do you think?
So, what do I think? Yeah, I think change is probably one of the hardest things to accept, because we think we have control over our lives.
Oh yeah.
You know, and we don't. I mean, right now we're doing this show. It's just beginning of April. You know, all of us are finally realizing you got to do your taxes, right? And you read the tax laws and whatnot, and some of them are just absolutely ridiculous. You know, just completely and utterly ridiculous. However,
still got to do it.
You still got to do it, right? So again, it's one of those things you can get really upset about it, right?
Yes.
And resistant,
mm-hmm.
right? And not do your taxes.
Yeah.
And there's nothing good that comes out of that ever. Sooner or later, you're gonna have to pay them, or but you can use it to create a resolve. Say, at my next election,
yeah.
I'm going to vote.
True.
You know, for whatever I choose. You know, for to be more involved in your voting. Which, by the way, folks, I find a really kind of beneficial. That's not the wrong word. I find comfort in the fact that I can vote. Right. So when time comes around, right, I may not, my person may not win, but at least I made my voice heard. You know, and that I'm voting for this or I'm voting against that, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Right? I try and vote the positive way, so the negative way, but it really does help out folks, because then during the years between elections, you know, you say, well, you know, that didn't work. So I need to get out and be more involved and get more people to vote and so on and so on.
So you've been reading up on some legislature, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, you have to be informed, right?
Well, I kind of study that on the peripheral, but I, in the scheme of things, if you think about looking at your whole life, the big picture of your life, the things that we get upset at are minute.
Mm-hmm.
The things that we need to focus on, in my opinion, because I guess that's where I am, is if there is a change and you can do something about it, do it. If there is not a change, you just make peace with it and accept it and live your life the best way you can.
Exactly. Excuse me, exactly. You have to drive on the right side of the road here in the U.S.
Not a big deal.
Right. But if you grew up driving on the left side, it is a big deal, right?
I guess so. But right? You would acclimate, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Get run over.
That's your only choice.
You got a choice. Live or die.
And everybody out there is going, oh, that's an easy one. But folks, accepting change is that way no matter what it is.
It is.
Right? You can rebel and chafe and all those things at it and really make your life miserable.
It's a thought away.
Or change. Take one step to the left or right and change your perspective and understand that you just accept the change. And make the best of it.
I haven't ever thought about this. I remember reading one of my favorite authors. Her name is Carolyn Mace. And in one of her books, and I'm sorry I don't remember which one, she might even have said it in several, but she talks about your biography writes your biology. And what she means by that is most of us, I won't say everybody, right. Most of us, we live in the past, 80% in the past. So if you're always living in the past, what are you doing in the present? What are you thinking about in the future? Because all of these grudges, all of these frustrations that we've had that we can't do a damn thing about because it's already happened, why do we redo that over and over and over?
Yeah, that's a classic definition of insanity.
Yes, isn't it?
Because there's nothing you can do about it. It's, you know.
And what she talks about, the biology part, is when you start doing that, it affects you, your health.
Oh, absolutely. Your blood pressure goes up, your stress levels go up, and all of this because, you know, I shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Yeah.
You know, I can't believe they said that to me, and you know, and so on and so on.
Exactly.
And folks, it's okay to be angry, upset, or happy for some period of time, but not months, weeks.
Years,
you know. I work with a lot of folks that are still trying to give up stuff that happens when they were kids.
Yeah, that is, I mean, we all have childhood probably traumas. We all have probably
we're all treated the way we had hoped that we would have been.
Yeah, but you know, that is something you can't change your parents. You can't change that whole situation. So how do you tell your clients to deal with that?
Well, I can give you a good example. I had a client that was having trouble with controlling weight, and it turned out that mom was the starting source. That mom was always at the rebellion. So the whole rebellion thing was,
right.
You know, I'm going to do what I want to do, right?
Passive-aggressive behavior.
Well, at age 35, I looked at this individual. I said, have you rebelled enough yet? Are you done?
Okay. Was mom still living?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, are you done? You know, and then the client invariably takes a breath and looks at me and goes, what do you mean? Well, you've been doing this for now, you know, some number, you know,
yeah.
For 25 years. Are you done?
Yeah.
Because you can stop if you choose.
That story doesn't hold water anymore, does it?
You know, the rebellion is the rebellion done?
Yes.
You know? And did you win?
Yeah, and who is it mostly affecting?
Right, and who's the only one that's paying the price?
Yes, exactly.
And that's when you start getting into, oh, you're understanding that, and that's where you come into that script that you wrote, right? The script that you wrote is that I do this, You know,
it's all mom's fault.
I am completely absolved of all of our responsibilities.
Us mothers, I tell you, we take a lot of blame. And I don't accept it, damn it. I do not accept it.
But that's the way it works. And then the realization begins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the first step, is understanding that, oh.
Yes.
You know, and then it's about what other things are there that we can work on. And it's about understanding that to affect the change, you know, you have to be diligent now and catch those old scripts that run in the background you're not aware of.
Right. Well, don't you think the first part of that is being aware and taking just a little bit of responsibility before
yes.
you can do that?
Right. You have to understand that it's your choice.
Exactly.
It is your choice to light the cigarette. It's your choice.
Oh, yeah.
Right? To light the cigarette.
Do you really need that to de-stress? Let's find some good, healthy ways.
That's part of the process, right? Is next time the boss yells at you, what are you going to do?
Yes.
You know, and coming up with specific strategies. But, you know, like I've said, folks, change comes at you. I used to be in sales. And at the end of every quarter was always just horrendous. You know, because everybody's wanting you to do stupid deals in order to make the numbers.
Sure.
So you're training your clients to wait till the end of the quarter to order because that's when they're going to get the best deal. It just became this, it was just...
Sounds like a BS problem.
It truly is. But it was things I didn't have control over.
Yeah.
So over the years, I learned to not get caught up in the whole.
I think detachment's a good way. Not meaning that you're checking out. Detachment doesn't mean.
Oh, I still did my job. I was still a sales dog. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, you still do what you needed to do. But the way it affected me internally.
You didn't get emotionally involved in it.
Right, exactly.
I think that's
exactly.
Detachment is absolutely. I have to. Compassionate detachment is what we practice in life coaching and what I do with Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield. And, you know, I've been working this Anthem job for, gosh, it'll be 4 years this month. And I guarantee you, my job description has changed at least a dozen times.
Yeah.
And they throw new ways of doing, new technology.
Right.
And I must tell you, every time that happens, I go through a little bit of a terror barrier.
Yeah.
But then I say, okay, I can do this. I can learn it. They provide the training. They give you the support.
Right.
But it's an inside job for me.
Right.
And, hey, this has been my lesson as far as a career on how I have no control over change. I have no control over who's going to be at the other end of that phone. And so all I have to do is just breathe into it and accept it as it comes.
No, that's absolutely true. Regardless of what your career is, you know, you only have so much control over it.
Sure.
Right? And so that, you should fully be in control of the things that you can.
That's right.
But the rest of it, you just, folks, nice deep breath and keep on pushing through because there's only so much you can do.
I know. Even if you're self-employed, you still have customers and clients and
right. You
have to market. You still... Yes, you have control over maybe your hours. Well, sometimes you don't.
No, I disagree with you.
Well, you think you do. You know, it's not like you got to punch your time clock. You do it till you get the job done.
I don't have anybody staring at me looking for when I come in this morning. But nonetheless, you know.
You still got bills to pay, don't you?
I still got bills to pay and things to do and, you know, stuff. Got a radio show to do and, you know.
I know. We have a meditation tonight here at Care Innovation Group.
We do. And this is, like I said, we're in early April. So the point that we're trying to get across is that you have to kind of, if you resist change, it just becomes harder and harder because rarely, you know, are the changes that you're trying to resist, you have control over.
So what I would like to do, Ben, if we have a few minutes.
We do. We have 15.
Okay, so let's just talk about, I know we talked kind of as a conversation piece, but let's give them some bullet points.
Okay.
Because I don't know about you, but when I first started understanding I have control over my thoughts, I can control my emotions, those kind of things, I didn't have that back when I was younger because I didn't have those tools.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kept doing the same thing that my parents were doing, and they were in the Depression.
Right.
And everything was scarcity. I have to have three toasters instead
right,
of one.
Right.
So why don't we, could we just kind of give them like maybe one, two, three things that they could
sure.
do?
Sure. So where do we want to start?
Well, one is we always start with the breathing.
Right.
Breathing and just notice your thoughts. You got a big change coming up. You feel it in your bones. You know it's coming up. Maybe there's some things that are changing. You got things are pending.
Right. And that breathing we're talking about, that's that in for three,
yes.
hold for three, and out for three. You do that four or five times, and that'll get you back to calm.
Okay, so I think that's where you start. So
number two is then be mindful.
Yeah.
Right? And as the thoughts hit you, understand and interrogate the thought.
Yes.
Right? Is it a thought that benefits you, or is it that negative voice speaking? If it's a negative voice speaking.
True.
Then figure out the way to say the thing positive.
Reframe
it. Exactly.
So can we give them an example?
Sure.
So let me see. I hate this job.
Yeah, I hate my job,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can't go from I hate my job to I love my job because
right.
the subconscious mind will go bullshit.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
That's not happening.
Not so, believable, right?
Right. But you can say, my job provides for my family.
That feels better. My job, listen guys, my job provides for my family. If you don't have a family, my job provides for me.
Right, exactly. You don't have to love it. You don't have to even like it,
yes.
but it provides for you. Right?
So that feels better. Could we get a better feeling than that?
And that's where you start looking internally. What
yes.
feels the best,
mm-hmm.
right? It's just a job.
Sure.
You know, it's not my, meaning it's not my world, right? It's mm-hmm. just a job.
Yes.
You know, and Heather taught me this, you know, she's very successful in her career. However, she's kind of at the max of where she can be, given her education and so on. And one day she finally realized, she goes, you know, this job thing just allows me to be an artist.
Right.
Because that's what she is.
Yes.
That's her identity. That's
right.
That's what she chooses.
Yeah.
Right. So all of a sudden the job went into perfect balance with the rest of her life.
Love it. So if you're listening, these are just tipping points for you.
Yep.
You create your own affirmation. You create your own reframing.
Mm-hmm.
But notice how it makes you feel in your body.
Right. And you'll feel it. You'll know when you've hit the right reframe. It'll feel right. It'll go, oh, you hear a little click or whatever you want to call it. You'll feel it. You'll know that it's correct.
But I assure you, if you keep telling yourself you hate your job,
it
does not going to work.
Right.
You will
continue to hate your job.
And either you're going to have some health problems, or you may get a little reprimand.
You never know.
Or whatever.
It's
not a good path to go down.
Right, exactly correct. And the third thing, what would you say the third thing is?
Let's see, we talked about breathing and reframing. My thought would be maybe finding someone that you trust. It doesn't have to be family. Life coach, professional,
right.
to actually process those thoughts and feelings, because a good support system is very helpful in that time.
Yeah, I take that a step further. I would think about, assuming, you know, I hate my job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why?
Exactly.
And what is the plan mm-hmm. to find something that you enjoy? Whether it's adopt a new attitude of, this allows me to be an artist.
Now, whether you get to can process that by yourself, that's fine.
But typically that takes someone else to help you.
An observer.
And doesn't, you know, I mean, life coaches or whatever are the perfect, but if you have someone that's close to you that can do that for you,
yes.
is good as well. You want to be, the danger is that you don't want them to be helping you climb your beard.
No.
Right? To keep fueling the negative piece. I can't believe they did that. That's not what you need. What you're looking for is okay, you hate your job. You dislike your job.
Mm-hmm.
What would you choose to do about it?
I think that's a great, those are great questions, because that way you have a springboard to do something that you really want to do.
And then you start putting the steps in place, the baby said we've talked about before, of beginning to affect the change so that you're taking that away.
But I want to caution you guys, ladies, guys, whoever's listening, guys, I use universal, that you, just because you hate your job doesn't mean necessarily the next job you're not going to hate. You got to do your inner work before you move on to the next job, because you take you with you wherever you go.
Right, right. That's exactly right. I counsel a lot of sales guys.
Sure.
I mean, in my world. And we talk to a lot of sales guys. And they think that going to work another sales job for somebody else is going to relieve the stress of their quarterly issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at them and go, how long have you been doing this? You know?
Yeah.
How many years have you been, has it ever not been that way?
Yeah, right.
Yes, that is the nature of this job.
So job
there is a timeline. There's somewhere in the year, some it's weekly, some it's monthly, whatever it might be, where the stress is going to come up to perform. So either deal with that, right, or find a new vocation.
Right, because job hopping is not the answer.
No, right.
Find out what your interests are, what brings you joy. When you wake up in the morning, what do you see your day like? I mean, do your inner work.
And understand that the job helps me to do the love of my life.
Yes.
It's perfectly okay.
Well, isn't there a cute little saying that says bloom where you're planted or something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
That's appropriate for spring, don't you think?
Absolutely. Bloom where you're planted. I like that a lot. But that's exactly the way it works, folks. You know, is that's where you are. You know, all those answers are perfectly acceptable. Well, guess what, Bella?
No.
Yeah?
I'm not done.
You all should be glad I put a time limit on. I'm just...
This is a great time to talk about this topic.
Yeah, it is. It truly is. And as always, folks, let us know. Let us hear from you. We appreciate all those that do get in contact with us. Call us anytime at Sphere at 678-920-6700. You can ask for Melba or I. And we look forward to talking to you all next week. Well, we have no idea what the topic is going to be for next week, but we will figure it out between now and then. As always, we're going to play a little something from my good friend Jason Kenney. And here is Come All Ye. Well, I guess maybe I'm not today, because it doesn't seem to be wanting to play. So, folks, with that, we're going to sign off, and we'll see you all next week. Thank you. Have a great week.